On Racing HQ, Racing HQ, Racing HQ, here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara, Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front, Chicago Bull goes to second, but it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
And 28 to 11, Sky Sports Radio. Let's see what's happening in the world of harness racing. And the man who's got his finger right on the pulse or on the hoof is Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. And the TAB Inter-Dominion Series will kick off on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. We hosted the barrier draws for the first round of heats on Sky yesterday afternoon, and for both the Pacers and the Trotters. And the markets went up soon after. Pacers and the Trotters barrier draws were done, so we're going to pick those two pieces this morning. Jason Bonington's going to join me first up. We'll run through those. Got the markets from TAB as well. There's been a couple of very well-backed runners in the Pacers heats, so we'll talk about that. Also this morning, Noel Daly's going to join us from the States. Noel Daly's coming back to Australia. I think he went over to America back in 1998 from Australia and has had great success over in North America, winning 8 Breeders' Crowns. And he's now coming back to be the private trainer for Emilio and Mary Rosati, or the Stride horses. We'll have a chat to Noel about that and when he arrives, and this brand new property that Emilio has set up out at Ludnam. And we'll speak to Noel about the plans that he has and how many horses he'll be in charge of, and if he's bringing any staff back with him and everything like that. Also this morning, want to speak with Fred Cruz. He's got a couple of trotters going around in the series, the Inter Dominion series. So we're going to speak with him about those. He's also announced that he will be giving Canadian reinsman Jody Jamison the drive on one of his horses, Maori Law, through the Inter Dominion trotting series. So we'll speak to Fred Cruz about that. And we're going to speak with Tim Butt, who, of course, trains Let It Ride. Let It Ride drew the inside of the second row in the first round of heats. He's also got Italian Delight in the series, so I thought we'd catch up with Tim Butt this morning. So a very strong Inter-Dominion flavour today. But first up on the show is Jason Bonington, a man you will see and hear plenty of through the Inter-Dominion series, the TAB Inter-Dominion series, over the next couple of weeks here on Sky Sports Radio. And also you'll see plenty of him on Sky Racing as well. Good morning to you, Bono. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. I'm preparing myself for the big couple of weeks ahead, as you've mentioned. Started all yesterday, I guess, with that Inter-Dominion barrier draw for the first round of qualifiers, but it's going to be a huge couple of weeks. Can't wait for it.
All right. Well, let's have a look firstly at the first Pacers heat. The big ones were My Alpha Rock drawing Barrier 1. It's been $4 to $4.20. Rapper's Delight's been $2.60 to $2.80 drawing Barrier 2. Tiger Tara went up $3.20 after it drew Barrier 4. It's now into outright favouritism. It's into $2.60. Spankham drew Barrier 5, $8.50 out to $9.50. I'm Pat's Delight, Barrier 9, 2 on the second row, $7.50, and has remained solid. And Joe Star of Mia seems big odds. He's drawn Barrier 11 as $35 and has remained solid. What did you make of the Barrier draw for Heat 1?
I think probably no major obvious losers. Maybe Spankham on the front line with plenty of gate speed. I know he's got plenty of gate speed too, the four-year-old from the All-Star Barn, but where does he get to from that sticky gate 5? And Joe Star of Me, you've already mentioned it, $35, is going to hope for a card into proceedings. But what a race this is. This is the race I'm probably looking forward to most right throughout the course of the night. I know you were spruiking during the barrier draw yesterday that My Alpha Rock would probably be able to hold the front and would want to. What does that leave us with a situation like? I guess Rapper's Light goes and tests it originally, and then Tiger Tara has to roll forward and breeze. Would be a great race, wouldn't it, if My Alpha Rock's in front. You've got Tiger Tara in the breeze. Rapper's Delight 1-1, stalking him everywhere he goes. But, as I say, that does make it hard for some drawn a little more disadvantageously, because if those big guns are all at the head of affairs and controlling the race, it's going to be hard to score big points from the back.
So would you think that Rapper's Delight could cross My Alpha Rock? Would you think that they would want to test their arm in the early stages, or would you think that My Alpha Rock would be able to comfortably hold?
I think that Rapper's Delight would just want to control his position, which is to roll forward and just have a little look and see if My Alpha Rock, there's an opportunity available there. But I really don't think that Rapper's Delight has the pure natural Blazing Gates be to get across the pole marker. So that speed map scenario that I've outlined is the overwhelmingly likely one, unless, of course, May Offer Rock, they want to eventually hand up to Tiger Tara. The pressure's brought to bear and Tiger Tara finds the front, but that's going to mean they really burn up. So there really is only one of two possible scenarios here. Quite a sedate first qualifier for ID18, or one where they're really going hard for 600, 700, 800 metres and Tiger Tara is having to force the issue to find the front. So that's the intriguing nature of this race. But look, I'd like that first possible speed map scenario where Tiger Tara's in the breeze, Rapper's Delight's 1-1, and we get to see which one is more likely to win ID18 based on the first qualifier for the series.
All right. Heat number two, Mac Doro drew one. It's been $6 to $6.50. Franco Nelson in two, opened $2 out to $2.30. Elmer's Image, who's drawn barrier three, opened up $61, is now a $9 chance. Galactic Star, $9 in barrier four into $7.50. Outside of that, you have Village Witch, who's drawn the inside of the back row, $14 remains solid. San Carlo has drawn three on the back row, $4.80 out to $5. Shadow Sachs has drawn the outside of the second row, $6.50 and remains solid. So the favourite for the second heat, Franco Nelson in barrier two, $2 out to $2.30.
I'm really intrigued more in your thoughts here, Hazy, with Franco Nelson. I mean, going back to the Victoria Cup, there were some people spruiking from the middle of the front row that he might be able to be the leader of the Victoria Cup. Of course, that didn't come to fruition. We know he's got gate speed, not blazing gate speed, but I can't see anything outside of him that would cross Franco Nelson. I think Mac Doro, they're very well aware that he's best driven sitting races like this. I know that Shane Tritton believes that Franco Nelson's his best chance in the series. It does seem fairly cut and dried here. There'll be a little war early and then Franco Nelson will find the front. Mac Doro will be behind the leader. I'm the boss as a noted, I guess, warrior pacer. Does he pull three wide at some stage or stay in the running line? If he stays in the running line, then poor old San Carlo, my man, probably has to pull three wide first and Shadow Sachs sort of follows him into the race, which makes it hard for both of those horses. But this isn't going to be run at Victoria Cup tempo, so hopefully both of those horses can get into proceedings when they need to and get the points that they require to make things a little bit easier for them later in the series. But really, I don't know why the drift has been on for Franco Nelson, $2 out of $2.30, because he does look your overwhelmingly likely leader.
I just wonder, and Shane was on the show a week ago, and I've spoken with Shane about Franco Nelson, and like the horse hasn't raced for a while, and he said Franco Nelson is going to get better as the series goes on. He's going to race himself into a bit of fitness throughout the series, and whether he's going to be a touch soft coming into this first heat, and whether the Victorians get around to him early and just savage him a little bit and just soften him up and he might just find that, I know it's only 2200, the first round of heats, just find him a little bit soft. And you know, if San Carlo can get to him within the first lap, whether they might just beat him for a little bit of stamina. And look, Franco Nelson, very tough horse when he is 100% fit. But just, you know, if he's only 90% right in terms of his fitness levels, they might just get him first night. So Elmer's Image is an interesting horse because he is fast. They don't often use him if he draws poorly at Menangle, but when he draws well, they will use him. Interesting that he has been well supported. And Galactic Star's a really fast beginner, and he has been supported. He's $9 into $7.50. Franco Nelson's not going to get it all his own way, and the fact that he hasn't raced for quite some time, that's a little bit of a query. If he rolls to the front and they hand it to him on a platter, he will beat them. I just from what Shane has said in the lead up to the race, the fact that he hasn't raced for quite some time, that's the little query with me for Franco Nelson. If he had constant racing up to this series, he's a lay down Mazaire to win the race. Just with that recent racing, that's the little query for mine.
Well, I think from everything you've just said, the $1.88 a drum right now for Mac Doro doesn't look too bad. The question is, who do they want to hand up to? If Elmer's Image comes looking, does Mac Doro hand up to Elmer's Image? Does it hand up to Galactic Star? That's the intriguing scenario, really. I think it's going to be very hard. As much as I love San Carlo, I think Shadow Sachs is a wonderful horse as well, and I've got the big V cap firmly on my sky. And I think it's going to be very hard for either of those horses to win the race. So you start to look at a scenario where something off the front row probably has to win this qualifier. And from an each-way perspective, certainly a place perspective, you'd think that Mac Doro, the right decisions will be made early. And from gate one, it seems almost a lock for a podium position.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. What about the third heat for the Pacers? Cash inflow from Barrier 1 has been $4.50 to $5. We've got Cruz Bromack, went up $1.55. Punters smashed that. It's into $1.35. It's drawn Barrier 4. Then we've got Let It Ride, who's drawn the inside of the second row, $5 to $6.50. They're the main players in the third heat.
Again, your New South Wales knowledge really comes into play here. Obviously, I think during the barrier draw yesterday, you were spruiking the possibility that Real Stride could get across, and that would make life hard for both Cash and Flow and also Let It Ride. I don't think anybody's got any doubt that Cruz Bromack will find the front. Anybody who saw his gate speed, both in the Shepparton Cup earlier in the year and also the New Zealand free-for-all, it'd be very hard to mount a case that he won't be finding the front and he isn't the best bet on the program at $1.35, because you'll just get there and it'll be a late animal there once he does. But who's going to be behind the leader? Will it be Cash and Flow? Will it be Real Stride? If Let It Ride finds itself in a very awkward position, I know he's a better sit sprinter. Do you get off the inside and risk a traffic jam? Do you stay to the inside? They're the crucial questions for this race, because it's not very hard finding the winner.
I just can't take a horse, $1.35, about a horse that can do things wrong like we saw in the New Zealand Cup. I know he did everything right in the New Zealand free-for-all and he was absolutely brilliant, but he still got that in his bag of tricks. Like in the New Zealand Cup, he got himself rough, and we saw what he did in the Blacks of Fake in Queensland. I know he had a gear issue that night, but $1.35, take it at your own risk.
Yeah, well, I'm probably in the other camp. I think with the Mark Purden polish and the fact that he's been around Melton many, many times before. I know some people question some of the starts at Melton and around the turns and all the rest, but well, Cruz Bromack's been there and done that. He's the fastest ever horse over the short course trip at Tabcorp Park, Melton. He's rarely ever made a mistake at that track. I'd be flabbergasted if he did make an error, and he has got that blazing gait, but as we know now, we never knew that of him earlier in his career. So you're going to stay away from the $1.35. He goes into all of my multis.
All right. Well, the first of the trotting heats, Speeding Spur. Now, this is the $1.35 I want to take. Speeding Spur has come up with Barrier 2. He's a $1.35. Next best in the race is Maori Law, who's an $8 chance. Speeding Spur looks incredibly hard to beat in the first of the trotters heats.
I don't see how he gets beaten. The only way possibly he gets beaten is in the go-to slow club. We saw in the big race on the first day of the New Zealand Cup Carnival that he led over the 1950-metre trip, and his sprinting capacity over a short period is still not magnificent. It never was, and it's probably deteriorated. He's still a very, very, very good horse. The only way he gets beaten is to be out-sprinted, but this isn't a strong enough qualifier. It doesn't have the appropriate rivals for anybody to run him down regardless, you wouldn't have thought so. I agree with you. The $1.35 of that Speeding Spur does look very good. It's going to be a question mark about who's going to sacrifice themselves in this race, because looking down the front row, I can't see anything that's going to want to sit in the breeze and do any deal of work. Maori Law might want to roll forward, Monty Python as well, but I think it's going to be a pretty sedate affair here. I think once Speeding Spur finds the front, they're going to try and organise their positions relatively soon after the start, and then everybody's going to be relying on what they can do over the final 600 to 800 metres to try and get the points that they require to be in a good position as we head further into the Inter-Dominion series.
And then what about the second of the trotters heats? Tornado Valley's the $1.50 favourite. He's drawn Barrier 6. Wilma's Mate is a $6 chance. Opened up $4.50. It drew Barrier 1. Tough Monarch from Barrier 2, $4.50 out to $5. And off the back row, Kai Valley Blur has drawn Barrier 11, $6 out to $6.50. You're taking the $1.50 about Tornado Valley?
Yes, I am taking the $1.50, but I reckon that's, you know, it's rock bottom, isn't it? He's so much clear of every other runner in terms of the best horse in the series right now, in my opinion, that it'll all seed to him eventually. But he's going to have to work for the money here, because everyone's going to want to be behind him. Will Wilma's Mate comfortably lob behind the leader? Will Tough Monarch give it a genuine crack, knowing that he can be a little risky at the start? Alderbeck, we're told. I've gone through his replays. It's been a long time since he's used his gate speed, but he does have it. And Sky Petite's also got really good early toe. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a war for 600, 700, 800 metres here. And Tornado Valley's going to be working right throughout that period. But once he does secure the top, that's going to be the end of the penny section. It will bring a few from the back row into proceedings, though. Big Jack Hammer's obviously drawn relatively awkwardly and will be relying totally on Wilma's Mate holding up behind the leader from the pole marking draw. But a horse like Kai Valley Blur, I don't think he can win the race, but I think he's in an okay position, because they're going to have to work hard enough here through the lead time that I think Clive Elliott Blair, as long as he gets a card into proceedings, he'll be able to finish top three, top four, and that's exactly what he needs as the series progresses.
All right, mate. We will hear from you on Chases and Paces on Thursday night, and of course see you in the coverage on Saturday night. Look forward to working with you over the next couple of weeks.
Can't wait, Hazy.
And there he is, Jason Bonington from HRV, and speak with him on a number of occasions throughout the next couple of weeks on Sky and also Sky Sports Radio. So the barrier draws, the big talking point on the Inter-Dominion yesterday, and we'll talk more about those a little bit later on in the show. Well done to Sheree Tomlinson, who took out the Australasian Young Drivers Championships over the weekend. Of course, heats run at Redcliffe on Thursday, Friday, Albion Park on Saturday night. Back at Albion Park for the first time in a long time on a Saturday night, and Sheree was able to prove too strong in winning that series. So well done to her. It came down in the last race. She needed to run... She couldn't run basically last or second last and have Nathan Dawson win the final race in the series. But well done to Sheree, a young Kiwi driver. She celebrated after enjoying some great success. 12 months ago, she won her first Group 1. Well done to a young New Zealand girl. I think early on in that series, she won three of the first five races, so did a great job. We're going to speak with Fred Cruz right now. Of course, we spoke with Fred a couple of times on the show going back earlier on in the year. He's got that very talented mare over in Sweden, Maori time, but he's got a couple of runners in the... Inter-Dominion Trot. Now, one of them is Maori Law, and he made the announcement yesterday that the driver for Maori Law throughout the series would be visiting Canadian driver Jodie Jamieson. And I thought we'd get Fred on the show this morning to have a chat to Fred about the decision to use Jodie throughout the series, and he's joining me on the show. Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Thanks for joining me today. Decision to use Jodie Jamieson. What's the reasoning behind that?
Look, Gavin Lang was certainly my preferred driver, but he has his own horse in the series, Save Our Pennies, and I wanted a driver who was available for the three heats and the final. I didn't want to have to find a driver that had never been behind the horse for the $150,000 final, if we're fortunate enough to get there.
And obviously, the horse has had some issues in the past. I would suggest probably not the easiest of horses to jump on at the last minute. So that's the main reason behind the decision.
Absolutely, yes, that's right.
Tell me a little bit about the horse, because I know from day dot the wraps on the horse have always been quite big.
Yes, look, he suffers from a disease called shivers, which hasn't been an issue at all. His back leg shakes if it's lifted or if the farrier lifted up to do anything. The other problem is he got a stress fracture 2 years ago, so he had 12 months off. But he's going along nicely, and hopefully he can acquit himself well.
And have you had any dealings with Jodie Jamieson in the past?
No, none whatsoever.
So I guess the chance to put on a dual world champion is something that's quite exciting, and obviously he's had plenty of success with both trotters and pacers in the past, so the chance to get a guy like Jodie to drive your horse is quite exciting.
Oh, yes. Look, I used Yannick Gringra during the Great Southern Star on Maori Time a couple of years ago, and was very happy with his performances there, so I can't see why a dual world driving champion in Jodie Jamieson can't do just as well.
And what are you expecting of Maori Law throughout the series?
Look, I'm expecting him to improve as the series goes along, and I think he'll be very, very competitive.
And what about the four runs in the space of 2 weeks? How will he cope with that?
No, it shouldn't be. No, I don't believe it'll be a problem.
Okay. Maori time. I see that she's down to race again on Wednesday, our time. We haven't seen her for a little while. What are the reports from Sweden?
Look, the reports from Sweden all along have been good. Just unfortunately, when she's been at getting to the races, she's been going off stride. Hopefully, Stig Johansson has sorted that out, but time will tell.
She's is there any hope that she'll still be racing when the elite lot comes around next year?
Look, that's certainly a dream. I can't answer that, but it'd be wonderful if she was. But she needs to get back to the type of form she was in when she left Australia.
Yeah, it's because obviously that was that form that she was in when she arrived. She obviously galloped at the in the heat, but she chased very hard, and she obviously set. There was a fair bit of chatter about her when everyone left Sweden and came back to Australia, and if she was able to get back into that form, it would, you know, set the local Swedish media talking again. So if she could start racing and getting back into that sort of form, it would be quite exciting for you. Well, I guess, have you booked tickets to go back to Sweden?
Look,
in May?
As soon as I got home, I booked tickets to return. It's such a wonderful experience in Stockholm for that week, and any trotting person should put it on their bucket list and go.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. Have you had much success in Inter-Dominion Series before? Have you had many runners?
No, this is the first time I've had a runner, so it's very exciting. I've been following the. I was at the Inter-Dominion when Minuteman won, so it goes back a long way. And the three heats and final concept has always been very exciting to me. And this year we're seeing the return of the trotters, and they're going to be three heats as well this time. So it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited.
2018 has been a pretty good year for you then.
Yes. Yep.
Well, mate, all the best of luck. We do wish you well with Maori Law. We will be following it closely, and of course, Maori Time as well, with her back at the races at Eccleston during the week. We'll follow that with interest.
Thanks, Greg. I hope to catch up with you during the carnival.
For sure and certain. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Fred Cruz, joining us to have a chat about Maori Law, who goes around in the first of the Inter-Dominion Trotters Heats on Saturday, takes on Speeding Spur. Maori Law has drawn barrier number 6, and Jody Jamison takes the drive for Fred Cruz. So interesting to speak with Fred. Now, Tim Butt, he's the man who puts the polish on Let It Ride, who's one of the series favourites for the Inter-Dominion Paces series, and Tim is joining us. Morning, Tim.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, how are you in terms of your happiness coming into the series with Let It Ride? Has everything gone to plan so far?
Yeah, no, he's had a great preparation. He's pretty fresh in his legs and had a little bit of foundation. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with him.
What about the four runs in the 2 weeks? Is that any concern for you coming into the series?
A little bit, you just got to hope that you don't have too hard a run during it, but he's still a young horse on the way up, but it's the same for everybody, so it's just a matter of getting through them in the right nick and having them healthy going into it.
Barrier 8, inside of the second row on Saturday night, probably gives you a good chance. You've drawn behind Cash and Flow, who's a nice horse, gives you a chance to give him a nice soft run, really, on night one of the series.
Yeah, I think through the series you're going to see a lot of horses winning from the pegs, you know what I mean? While we're on the second line, it's... we've got a good trail through there, and we just need the brakes at the right end of the race.
What have you made of his preparation? He obviously, the way the barrier draws are done in Sydney has forced him to draw wide, and he hasn't been able to get that victory this preparation, but his runs really haven't been bad.
Oh, no, it's terrific. I think he went half and 52.5 first up, and then sitting in the death is pretty hard to do at Menangle when they go 49. So, I think he's gone terrific, and I'm sure the longer distance races will suit him better.
Longer distances is the key for him. All right. What about the different tracks? Are you concerned by Ballarat or Cranbourne? Does that worry you at all with the horse?
No, it definitely is a different style of racing than we're used to. But I think going to Queensland in the winter was a real good catalyst for this carnival because, you know, it's a similar type of racing, similar type of track size. So and he adapted well. So he's a pretty adaptable sort of horse. And, you know, but those tracks, you're going to need luck on the pegs and, you know, leader bias probably. So when the final comes around, it'll be a bit different of a guess. But, you know, through the heat, you're going to need a bit of luck.
What about Italian Delight? It's drawn barrier 7 in the second heat. Is this going to be a good learning curve, this series, for him?
Yeah, well, you know, he made the field in the end, and we just thought, hey, you've got to support these in the minions. And, you know, he would have been a chance of getting through with nice draws and soft runs, but out there it's going to make it difficult. And but, hey, he might draw well the next 2 heats, so we'll see what happens.
Who do you think's the hardest to beat in the overall series going into it?
Well, I think there's plenty of chances, but I have a soft spot for Tiger Tara, of course, and I also have a soft spot for Joe Star Amir. I think he's a horse that's come on terrifically well this season, and, you know, I think he might surprise a few.
Okay. Where's Myfield Marshall at the moment? What's the latest with him?
He's going well. He's trialling a week today, and he's tentatively, if he goes well, he's, you know, looked to be racing at Christmas, and, you know, may even taken the option of going to Perth yet, because just got to see how he comes up.
Okay. That's interesting. And did I see a report that Rakapuka Rulers joined your camp?
Yeah, we were sort of sourcing a few horses over cup meeting with you know, a lot of the Kiwis like to get through cup week and then decide what they're going to do. So we bought a couple of nice horses out of New Zealand, Rakapuka Ruler and a horse called Preston Pans that we're looking forward to racing through the foil races.
That's amazing. There's you've got the stable of stars really out there at Menangle. There's some very nice stock that are entering the barn out there at Menangle. How many horses are you working out there now?
We've got about 25 now, Greg. So you know, get the quality up, and we'll have a good racing team after Christmas.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right. So when do you make the final decision? When do you go to whether you go to Perth or not with Myfield Marshall?
It's 50-50. I'd like to go, but probably come a wee bit soon with not a lot of Christmas racing. So he'll race at Menangle on the week of the end of Dominion final, and we'll decide then on that run. And, you know, I'd like to go and race on the 28th and Perth if he wins.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Good luck on a Saturday night with your two runners, and I'll catch up with you down there.
Cool, Greg. Great to talk to you.
There he is, Tim Butt, joining us on the show to have a chat about his runners. Not too sure whether we're going to catch up with Noel this morning. Looks like his phone's ringing out, but no doubt we will catch up with him in the next couple of weeks when he does get back to Australia. I know that he had runners in America recently at his final meeting, so he's basically wrapping up and getting ready to come home and taking over at Emilio's property and getting ready to run the team here in New South Wales. All right, that wraps up, Cozzy, the show. Plenty to talk about. I'll be back on Sunday morning with a full wrap-up of Saturday night at Melton, and looking forward to Ballarat on Tuesday with the second round of heats, and then getting ready for Cranbourne, which will be night 3 of the series on Saturday week.
All right, good on you, Hazy. Have a top week.
Thanks, mate.